Appeal and suggestions to conference officers. The need of thoroughness and growth of the ministry. While some ministers carry but little burden and go light loaded, others are pressed as a cart beneath sheaves because they realize the responsibility of the work. While these are wearing, there are others who are not expanding, whose souls are not enlarged by the Spirit of God, and who are not growing at all. They are simply drifting. They do not lack capability, but they are not willing to train their ability to do the highest service for the Master. Thus, some laborers are worked nearly to death, while others are weak in moral power and feeble in experience, because they do not feel the importance of growing in grace. I have been shown that the presidents of our conferences are not doing all their duty. They are not all becoming more and more efficient. Their experience is cheapened, and as they do not exercise their powers by taxing them, trusting in God to give them efficiency, their work is defective in every respect. The mere possession of qualifications is not enough. The ability must be diligently used. Can nothing be devised to arouse presidents of conferences to a sense of their obligations? Would they could see that their position of trust only increases and intensifies their responsibility. If each president would feel the necessity of diligent improvement of his talents in devising ways and means for arousing ministers to work as they should, what a change would take place in every conference. Do these men realize that the solemn scrutiny of every man's work is soon to begin in heaven? When the Master went away, he gave to every man in every age and in every generation his work, and he says to us all, "Occupy till I come." Have ministers thought how much is comprehended in these words? Verily, there may be but a step between them and death. How stands the record of sacred trusts committed for wise improvement? Misused talents, wasted hours, neglected opportunities, duties left undone, sickly churches, the flock of God not strengthened by having their portion of meat in due season. What is to be done? Shall the president of the General Conference carry the burden of the neglects of presidents and ministers, and weep between the porch and the altar, crying, "Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach"? Shall he feel that he is responsible for the deep sleep, the paralysis that is upon the people of God? If he works as he has done to arouse the careless and set in order the things that others have neglected, he will become unable to labor and will go down to an untimely grave. Will the presidents of conferences and the ministers of the people seek the Lord earnestly, put away their sins, empty their souls of their idols? Or will they continue to go on half-hearted, neglecting solemn duties, while Satan triumphs, whispering to his evil angels and to his human confederacy in evil, hopeless, irredeemable bankruptcy? Let there be no more wasted hours, neglected duties, despised privileges. Open your eyes to what is taking place around you in the signs of the times. The warnings of God have been given. Why not heed them? Do not abandon yourself to despair, but heed the words of Christ. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. When the eye salve is applied, many will see as never before their life of unfulfilled duties and will be conscience-stricken. But the words of the inspired apostle present, now, just now, hope to those who have been lagging behind and now are trembling for the future. He says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Remember, all depends on the use you make henceforth of your entrusted talents. If you refuse to use your powers, they will surely become weak and decay. God has given to every man his work. We have been granted a long time of solemn privilege and sacred trust, and now the crisis is opening upon us, anxious, solemn moments in our experience. As a people, we have only touched the missionary work with the tip ends of our fingers. Many are unwarned and ensnared in Satan's devices. Apparent success in some lines of our work has led many to retreat, self-satisfied, instead of pressing the battle to the gate. The whole church needs to be aroused and brought to their knees before God. Pride must be expelled, for it has been the cherished idol. Selfishness and ambition and self-esteem have made men to walk proudly in their own imaginings. Great is the mercy of the Lord toward those who have departed from Him. He says, "When Israel was a child, then I loved him, and called my son out of Egypt. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as the Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me, my repentings are kindled together. Mrs. E. G. White, Australia, 1892.